You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson and this is episode 86. Today's guest is Bob from Canada, and I really, really enjoyed this one. This is, as well as being a dream interpretation, was quite a lovely, lively conversation all around subjects related to the dream. So I know that you're going to enjoy this. And quite early on, you hear Bob express his frustration that over about 25 years, he's been trying to bring more balance into his right-left brain world, to really open up more of his right brain creativity. And I'm really not getting anywhere with it. And this is a dream that we work out quite deeply and has lots of surprises in it for him. And some interesting questions and answers. And we, of course, finish with a very powerful alchemy to enable Bob to finally really open up that right brain stuff. There's so much more. I just know you're going to love this one. So sit back, put your feet up and enjoy. Welcome to The Dream Show, Bob. How are you today?
Well, I was just running around a bit and feeling a bit frazzled, but I'm sitting comfortably now.
There was a favorite radio show I listened to when I was a little girl. Actually, it wasn't called radio in those days. It was called The Wireless. And it always started, are we sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
That's true.
Yeah, you just reminded me of that. So anyway, I'm sitting comfortably, Bob. You're sitting comfortably, and hopefully all our listeners are sitting comfortably. So let's begin. What have you got?
Well, I have a dream that I had about a week and a half ago, I guess November 23rd, in fact. And I remember them so rarely now, I don't know why, but it's a fairly rare event where I remember a dream in any detail. So I just had to write it down that morning. Did you want me to start right into it?
I'd love to, please.
Okay. There was a refugee family living in a tent just in front of our green barn. I don't recall seeing the father, just the mother and some children. I was walking out to the green barn, and one of the children came running up to me. She had a gash from her forehead across the left side of her head, above the ear. It seemed like a fresh wound, and it was bleeding, but she was telling me that a baby was being born. I went to the tent, and there was a baby just crowning. There seemed to be some midwife or other help, I think, but one of the other children was saying, "Wipe the baby, wipe the baby." I asked for something to wipe the baby with, and someone gave me a wet wipe. I don't know if you know what that is.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, somebody gave me one of these wet wipes, and I wiped the crown of the head. The baby immediately started to move out, and I said, "It's coming now, it's coming." It seemed to me that the wet wipe was very cold for the baby, and that this was a cold setting in which to have a birth. We should bring her into the house, I thought. I needed to ask Judy, that's my wife, about bringing her inside, but the baby was being born now. As the head was completely out, I wiped what looked to be a blood stain on the left side of the baby's head, but what happened is that the red blotch turned completely white, so it didn't change shape, it just went from red to white, and none of it changed the shape, nor did it come off. Mm. When I woke up, just right then, there was a hymn that was going through my head, right there, just as soon as I woke up, and it's a hymn that I had looked at just 2 days before, and it's a hymn that's titled, "O Sacred Head Now Wounded," and it went through my head for the rest of the day. And I had, at the time that I looked at it 2 days before that, I was remarking that it's not a Christmas hymn, it's an Easter hymn, so we won't be singing it here now at Christmas time. And I had that same thought right there in bed as I woke up, that I recalled that thought that we would be singing it, we wouldn't be singing it now at Christmas time, it's an Easter song.
Mm.
And that's it.
Oh, what? That's a lot of recall for not recalling often. Well done.
Well, this is rare. Yeah, this I did remember. But I consider this a short dream. My wife has huge, long dreams, multiple every night, and she remembers them all.
That's wonderful. It's interesting, that Bob, that and I know you've listened to a lot of shows, so you might have picked this one up, that often when a person has a long dream, like your wife, you can often look at that dream and break it down into a recurring motif or a recurring theme. And even if you look at your dream, you can see that recurring theme, and I'm sure you noticed it, the recurring motif in, of course, the wound above the left ear in the little girl in the dream, and then noticing that wound on the baby as well. So even though you regard your dream as quite a short dream, it's big enough to have a recurring motif, and there are other recurring motifs in there as well. So sometimes, although a long dream can be exciting and give us a lot more in-depth clues into what's going on for the person, often we can just work with one or two returns of the motif and get a lot from that as well, as you did. What was the sex of the baby, Bob, that was born?
Well, I was trying to recall that, and I didn't have a strong feeling. I thought probably it was a girl, but it didn't seem to be really definite or clear.
Yeah, I would.
And definitely it was a little girl that was running up before before I went to the tent. That was definitely a girl.
That's right, and then there was her mother. So there were all the females, and you were talking about checking with Judy. So I would suspect it would probably be a girl, because the theme of the dream is all girls there. And also because the cut above the little girl's ear was on the left side, and what's on the left side in dreams tends to be that's the other way around, of course. And what's on the left side in dreams tends to be the inner world, which is the female side. So I have a feeling throughout this dream that we're actually looking at your female side, which is your inner world, your creativity, your emotional life, your intuition, your right brain, and, of course, your spirituality. So it's no surprise that you finish with a hymn, and that some of that hymn is mirrored in the dream, even though hymn could be a pun on male, you know, him, not her. I feel, and particularly because you were contemplating that that hymn in waking life sometime before the dream, I suspect that one of the strongest levels to go in at your dream would be at the spiritual level. Though, of course, every dream, you can look at the dream and go, oh, look, there's the physical level, there's the emotional level, there's the mental level, there's a spiritual level, and they're concurrent readings of the same situation. But I think the one that was probably pertinent for you at the time was spiritual, so that's where we're going to go in. In that hymn, O Sacred Head, Now Wounded, which you say is an Easter hymn, what's the message of that hymn, according to you?
You know, I meant to go get the, we've got a hymn book here, I meant to go get it, because I haven't sung it for 8 months, but I wanted to reread the verse. I don't literally remember any of the verses off the top of my head, but I've sung them probably 8 or 10 times over the decades.
Yeah.
And the theme is basically it's an Easter theme. It's Christ's head that is wounded as he's about to die. And then, of course, after that, there's a resurrection.
Mm.
So I connected a little bit of the birth and the resurrection of the hymn.
Absolutely, yeah. And quite interesting, I love that you said there, and you probably gave accurate figures, but you said, oh, I haven't sung that song for about 8 months, and I've probably sung it about 8 or 10 times throughout my life. So we might come back and look at the figure 8 or 8 and 10 later as well. And yes, I got the feeling as you were recounting the dream, before you got to the bit about the hymn, and before I was thinking, oh, spiritual, when you mentioned the refugee family sitting outside the barn, and then, of course, the baby being born and the question of whether to bring it in, I was thinking, oh, this has got a resonance with, you know, the birth of Jesus, even though they weren't refugees as such. They were kind of on the road,
right,
away from home.
Right.
And the fact that you mentioned that in your dream, the refugees were outside your green barn. And, of course, in the biblical story, it's a stable. Yeah, so I was already thinking, oh, that's interesting. There's some resonance there as well. And then, of course, you're talking about the crowning of the baby, which is, you know, the correct term for the birth of a baby. But in, you know, Jesus says the crown and the crown of thorns, and crown is a word that comes up a lot when, you know, talking about Jesus and spirituality, I guess. And then you've got the sacred.
Sorry.
No, you go.
I was just thinking it's probably that crown that actually wounded the head.
Yes.
That's probably what the hymn is about. I think it's the crown of thorns that wounds the head, right?
Yes, the thorns that prick the side, and probably over the ears, which is a sensitive part. So what in your thinking, in your perception of the Crown of Thorns, using just a few words, what did the Crown of Thorns represent in the biblical story?
Well, it was that the classic Christian line is there that the sins of the world on this one guy, and he takes it all on and is ultimately killed, not just wounded but killed, but then risen again.
Okay.
So am I answering the question well?
Yeah, very well. It's simplifying it even more. It's about this guy who takes on so much more than anyone could think that he could bear, but he comes through. Yeah. So if you take that little theme there, and remembering, we're going to go into so much more of your dream, Bob, but just remembering that the dream reflects the last 24 to 48 hours of your conscious and unconscious experiences. There's a theme there that at some level within you, consciously or unconsciously, in those 2 days before, there was a feeling of, I seem to be taking on so much, you know, more than anybody could really bear. and the focus being on the head there too, and the head wound and the crowning of the baby and all the focus on the head. And when you were telling me about the hymn and you said, I've probably, off the top of my head, I've probably sung it 8 or 10 times. So you were using the word head there. My feeling is that there's been a lot of feeling of burden or extra tasks that you've been taking on in the head kind of sense, thinking, working with the head, intellectual work rather than heart work, a lot of burdening in the head.
That's right on the money, Jane.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right on.
So if as that is right on and you've been taking on this extra burden, your dream always reveals your mindset. It doesn't judge or say what is the right or the wrong thing to do, but it's judging that the mindset is that I will just keep on taking on all these things, but I'm not sure how I will come through. But there's a feeling in the dream that I will come through, that, you know, there'll be a rebirth. But what I love in the dream is that head stuff, in a way, is... If you then, although you can have the right brain is the female side and the left brain is the male side, there's also a sense in which the head stuff is the male stuff and the heart is the female side. And so isn't it interesting that you've got, in a sense, quite a lot of wounded females in the dream? You've got the girl that's wounded. You've got the woman, the mother, who's a refugee. So in some sense, she's wounded because she's lost her sense of home. So they are, everyone in a dream is aspects of yourself. So the girl, how old was the girl, without thinking too hard?
Well, I was anticipating that question, and I would put it at about 10.
About 10. So she kind of fits in.
Roughly. The one that was running.
Yeah.
The one that was running and telling me, I'd say about 10.
So she kind of also fits in with that off the top of your head. You've sung this song probably 8 to 10 times in your life as well. So she's 10.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's something that's been in your life for about 10 years, or probably exactly 10 years. So, Bob, it's 2010 now, so that goes back to 2000. Does anything stand out in your mind now, any change, particularly because she's a girl, in your inner world, your creative, spiritual, heartfelt sense? Was there a change that you can recall around about the year 2000 or Christmas 2000?
That's not coming up. A good answer is not coming straight to my mind. I can just explain to say that this theme of left brain, right brain has for me been something that's, it's even been a theme in my dream for, I'd say, decades. I think probably more than 25 years. I'm actually getting frustrated that it's not resolved, that I haven't done better. Possibly 10 years ago, possibly around 10 years ago, 2000. No, I think it would be a little more, but I bought a book called Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain. And it's a book about drawing, but it's literally also trying to get you using the right side of your brain. And I read the first chapter or two in the night, and then I didn't finish. And so I never finished this work, and I'm actually getting a little, I'm looking forward to a powerful alchemy that take me through this one.
Okay.
and get her done.
Excellent. So we are, although we can't pinpoint exactly that 10 years ago.
Yeah, 2000, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything exactly 2000, but I certainly will ponder that.
That's all right. It'll come. And I think you're right there in at least unconsciously kind of somehow relating it to that book. And yes, we will deliver the power of alchemy to get you into the right side of your brain, more the creative, spiritual, intuitive part. So, as you look at that young girl in the dream with the wound over her left ear, what kind of feeling do you get from her?
What kind of feelings did she give me?
Yes, as you looked at her in the dream, what did she make you feel?
Well, as I'm thinking about it, I can't, you know, this is part of the problem. I can't remember my feelings there.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm thinking now how I should feel. Isn't that a sad state? That's very sad. I need help.
Yeah.
But anyway, what I think I should be feeling is why is she, she's so concerned about the birth and not about her own head wound.
Yes.
And I thought, after the dream was over, we need to help that girl too.
Yes.
But she just came running by and I went on to the tent.
Yes. Okay. That's, an intent. There may be a pun on intent as well. You know, what is the intent of something, by the way? Yeah.
Intent.
Right. Yeah. So, yes, that's a good question. So we're just going to jump all over the place as we do here to sort of put this together. As you said there, your question was, even though it was a head-based question, why she's the one that needs help. Why are we focusing on the birth at the moment? And, you know, backtracking a little bit into today's podcast, you said, yes, I am taking on a lot. I'm taking on more than a person could possibly bear, but I can see that, or at least unconsciously, I feel that something will be birthed from this. So there's that sense of you're focusing on what you're bringing into life, what you want to bring into life, which we'll work out what that is in a minute. But because that is a huge priority, but then secondarily noticing, yes, there is another priority here too. There is a part of myself that is about 10 years old, that is my spiritual self, my female side, that is wounded, that I am not giving attention to, that is not, in a sense, crying out hard enough for priority.
Right.
You know, and that needs to be given. Your green barn, you said this birth took place, or the refugee situation took place outside of your green barn. Do you have lots of barns, or do you just have one barn?
Well, we have two, and this green barn is where Judy keeps all the animals. So she's got kind of an organic farm business. So she's got piglets, chickens, a goat, and lots of little things, and there are regularly births out there.
Yeah. So there's regularly births, and it's also that's slightly more even back to the biblical story, because you know, the manger was a kind of cleared out animal stall, wasn't it? The birthplace,
right.
I mean, yeah. So that's probably why that is. Refugee. I wonder why you saw her as a refugee. So there's a part of yourself that is a mother. That's the part of yourself that would be nurturing, and this dream is giving birth. And yet she's a refugee. She's lost her sense of home. Now, home doesn't, of course, mean your physical house. It usually means the sense of self, of deep, deep, deep sense of self. Anything in your mind now regarding the couple of days before the dream where you might have felt that sense of loss from?
Yes, I do have something in my mind. It's something I'm going to do some more thinking about. I'm not sure I want to divulge it all, but I would take that refugee thought and I would say, well, she doesn't have a home in my own headspace.
Mm.
I need to make her more welcome inside.
Yes.
So, you know, that's for good. I'm just, these are thoughts I'm just thinking now. I didn't have this figured out until you started talking.
No, it's...
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it? Because, you know, the things that come to me combined with the questions that I'm asking you are the things that really flesh out out the meaning. And I love the way that you're describing how you're responding there, Bob, because a lot of people, I guess, wouldn't be able to. You're analyzing at the same time, and you're therefore contributing the process. And it's that process of, especially when you're talking about dreams, which are dealing largely with our unconscious experiences, and you're describing that process where it's like, there's something there. I know there's something there. What you're saying is means something, but I can't quite put the whole feeling together. I'll need time to look at that later. And that what you're doing there is describing that moment where something that is unconscious is actually coming through into consciousness for you as a result of the work that you and I are doing together. And you're just describing that beautifully for our listeners, that process. So I know that whether it's during this hour or whether it's afterwards, that these things will come to greater clarity for you, which is really, really lovely. And I know that also you said there is coming into my head, or you mentioned the head in some sense. And so I'd like just to tell your unconscious mind at the moment that it can also process things in your heart. There's a head which is clarifying and analyzing and finding a kind of visual picture, and your heart at the same time can be contributing by finding an emotional feeling correlate, even though you're kind of a bit out of touch with that at the moment. It can begin that process. And part of that is allowing for the fact that it's kind of like the full picture isn't in your head, but allow it and it will come. And to some extent, you know, the heart makes its contribution there. I agree totally with what you said from your dream. This is a sense of something that you don't necessarily want to divulge today, but you have, pinpointed that there is a sense of, something else that you need to come home to within yourself, and a space that you need to create for that to happen. And I think that's very clear in the dream. But I love in the dream that the birth is actually happening, that actually happens in the dream. So if at the same time, in those one or two days prior to your dream, you must have actually begun to birth the beginnings of this space.
Yes, I think so. I wouldn't have known it at the time, but I think so. Mm. I think that's true. I think I have come to some sort of resolution about an issue, I think.
That's really lovely. A couple of things on that. One is we're not sure whether you saw the full body of the baby in the dream.
No, I didn't.
No. So what?
Only the head.
Only the head. So what you've got there is that sense of that thing that's in your mind now that you're birthing at the moment, that you're bringing into the world. You've got the head end of it in place, and we've still got to bring the body, the heart and the soul of it through, which is exactly what you're asking me to do. So we've
got
that, yeah.
That's good.
And the other thing that's clear in the dream is that you are then going to ask Judy if there's room to bring her into the baby into the house. So that's also reflecting what you said there, but is there room? I want to create a room within myself, within my headspace, as you put it, within myself to birth this whole new thing. So it's a sense of asking Judy, who is the another female aspect of yourself, the kind of long-standing female aspect of yourself that you already know very well because she's your real life partner, your waking life partner. Mm-hmm. It's that sense of, is there, can I make room for this? Can I come in? And yet in the way that you expressed it there, Bob, in the dream was almost an asking of permission. Can, you know, rather than it's my house so I can bring the child in, the baby in, it's I have to ask Judy, which is not the real Judy. This is an aspect of yourself. So there'd be a question for you to ask yourself then, going back maybe to when you were 8 or 10 years old, or maybe 8 or 10 years ago, but maybe to 8 or 10 years old, about the way in which you were brought up and the need to ask permission to do things sometimes, you know?
Okay. I'll have to think about that.
Because there's a part of yourself in the dream that needs to ask permission rather than just have an equal right to go and do it.
Right.
So you're seeking permission from another part of yourself. And it may be because you're seeking permission from the female side of yourself that the female part of yourself, the heart side, the right brain, has yet to allow you to open up more, to bring in more. So it's a sense of permission.
That sounds very good.
Yeah.
That seems to strike a chord for me. Yeah.
Is that triggering something you're able to speak about now or something you'd rather work on later?
No, I'd rather not. But this is all good. That's not to say this.
No, I know.
This is working.
No, that's good.
It's all working well.
And it's a wonderful thing about this show that, you know, you don't. The guest does not have to divulge anything personal or private that they don't want to still not only receive the insight themselves, but also for the listeners to understand the process and begin to, you know what it's about. So we want to do that. We want to create that space. And that's probably why in Waking Life, when you bought the book, you know, Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain, where you only got to chapter one, because on some level, you, the female part of yourself, your right brain didn't allow it in. Didn't give permission.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to read this book. You know, and things that come off the top of my head, now I'm going into analytical mode. You know, Bob, you know, you were trained to do, I don't know what you were trained to do. You were trained to do this, to use your left brain. You know, there's no space in.
I'm an engineer.
Okay, well, you couldn't get much more left brain than that, could you?
Yeah. Not
as you as a person, but in the requirement on the job, I mean.
Yep.
Yeah. Engineering requires a tight logic and
sure.
Mm.
Yep.
So
yep, that's me.
Yeah. What made you decide to become an engineer?
Oh, I love the ability to model the universe, like either mathematically or in some mathematical model, to be able to model and then predict.
Mm.
I mean, that was just very intriguing, attractive. The thought that you could, I guess there's a joke amongst engineers that if we could only reduce the entire universe to a set of partial differential equations, then everything will be known. that attraction was, I guess I also have a natural tendency to analyze, and that's part of that process.
Yes. It's interesting, isn't it? Because
I like engineering.
Yeah. And I love the way that you described it there, because it is, as you described it there, a subject where you can model using mathematical or logical terms and then predict what's going to happen. So in a sense, there is creativity in that as well.
There is, a little bit.
But a little bit, but it is there, it's nascent. who, going back in time, who do you think, was that entirely inner driven, or did that attraction begin with suggestions from parents or teachers? Was there kind of like a seminal moment where you realized this was something that you were attracted to?
I would say if I were to pick that moment, it would have been in high school. I was just in maybe grade 11, I'm not sure, and thinking about what I'd be, there was a little bit of pressure to figure out what you're going to do, and so I'm picking up pamphlets in some guidance counselor's office, and there's one about an engineer. And actually, now that I think of it, the pamphlet actually had a... it defined the word engineer as what's the root? I forget now. The root in Greek or something has to do with ingenious. It has to do with creativity.
Ah.
There was this cloud above the engineer that was dreaming up some idea. Oh, and there was this waft of smoke going right under his nose on this pamphlet. So, in other words, he's getting inspired by some spirit, I guess, and then dreaming something up. So it's interesting now that you say that, because that's I never understood that in the light of right brain before, but I'm just picturing that picture now, and it is very from a very right-brained angle. The person that did the pamphlet was probably very right-brained.
Yeah.
I felt they had to portray this very left-brained profession in some creative way, I suppose.
Yes, but then, you know, if you take it that step further and you look at, I don't know what kind of thing you engineer, but if you go into, say, the engineering of big structures, you know, bridges, palaces, skyscrapers, that kind of, I know that's more architect, but it's still engineering in there. I mean, that there's wonderful inspiration, there's wonderful creativity. You've got to have the vision first before you apply the mathematics.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. That's true. There's a lot of mundane work to be done and a lot of details to be figured out, but every once in a while there are great creative moment. Mm. Yes.
So I like the fact that, you know, this memory of this pamphlet and the picture after all these years has come to mind, and that that picture on the pamphlet not only had a reference to spirit with the smoke going under the nose.
Yeah.
Also under the nose, like you follow your nose, that's your intuition as well in a way, and the inspiration and the creativity, as you say, you know, the word dreaming too, the dreaming cloud above the head. And it's almost like, although you were, you know, most definitely from what you're saying here, following your passion and you responded to that pamphlet, it's sounding like, although you have probably done wonderful work in engineering, you have not perhaps fully lived out and explored this other aspect that was in the pamphlet.
I would say that's true.
Yeah. Now, so why might you have locked that out and not allowed that part to come in?
Why might, did you say, I missed one word.
Why might you have locked that out?
Why would I not have allowed that?
Yes, yeah.
For myself?
Yeah.
I guess it's a comfort with the analytical, a comfort with what you're good at, and a kind of, you know, when we went through school, the engineers sometimes made fun of the arts people about how kind of airy they were. I don't feel I did. If I did, I don't respect myself for it.
You were young.
But there is this, you know, they're airy fairy. They're not doing anything real hard and practical.
Okay.
You know, and so that is, I guess, a negative side of that, a side that was at least projected to some extent and maybe still is in my mind. I think I've come a long way, but I just, this theme keeps coming up for me, this left brain, right brain stuff. Like I say, it's been so many years. I'm just wondering, does it just keep on going like this forever, or do I get somewhere?
No, we're gonna get somewhere. We're going to do it today. So we're going to make that change. And I've just got a couple of other things to get into here from what you've said there, because I think we're so, so close. And part of it, Bob, is the awareness. As we're, you know, fossicking about in here, there'll be parts of yourself that are already opening up and readying for this change. But it's really good, especially with an analytical person such as yourself, it's really good to understand as much as we can before then applying the alchemy, so you're totally with it, you know. And you, as you said there, and I think, you know, whether or not you did see arts, the art students in that way, airy fairy and everything that you said there, or whether you just noticed that amongst other people, the fact was it went in consciously or unconsciously. It's in your brain because you were just able to access it just now. And I love that you said,
unfortunately.
Yeah, but you know, if we all look back at ourselves at that age, you know, we could write whole books on the things that we regret about the way we saw the world. We're here to fine tune and and become better. But I love the way that you said there, you know, it's about the feeling as a student was about being real and hard and practical. And maybe that's, you know, not how you saw the art students back then. But I want to ask a question that might appear out of left field, but it's not when you look at your dream. When you think of Jesus, because you've got that theme in your dream, and you think of the work that he did and the burdens that he took on with the crown of thorns, do you see the work that he did as real, hard, and practical?
Ooh, that's interesting. Interesting question. Because I would tend to answer that. Wow, I'd say he must have been really balanced. Because on the one hand, here's some real, according to the stories anyway, some real physical healing going on. It's not just talk.
Mm-hmm.
So lepers were cleansed and blind people saw and all that kind of stuff. So at least that there's that image of real practical help them right here, right now. And then on the other hand, there's the highly, the more philosophical Sermon on the Mount stuff, which is up there in the sky to some extent.
Yes.
So I guess if it's a model, you must have been very well balanced left and right.
Yes, I totally agree. That's quite stunning, isn't it? And if he'd been in modern day and had got into university, what would he have studied?
Probably not engineering. I would have thought probably philosophy. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he would have done philosophy too. And would that have made him an art student?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
So because in your dream, like, you know, we could explore so much more, but I want to bring it together now and start to go into the alchemy. Because in your dream, there is that recurring, just to summarize to some aspects of it. Yes, you were feeling a lot of head overload at the time of the dream, and yet unconsciously realizing that you were ready to birth something. But that thing that you were bringing into your life at that time, you had produced kind of like you'd birth the head part of it, the thinking part of it, but acknowledge that there's still the heart and the body to come. But it's that close, you know, you can't stop. Once the head of a baby's born, you can't stop the rest coming out. But there's areas around that of this being spiritual. There's areas around that of needing to ask or needing to stop asking permission to allow this spirituality or heart space or right brain space in, and to look at that. And there's this, you know, absolute need to use the model of the birth of Jesus as a model for good left-right balance. He did some amazing stuff, as it would appear from the history. So, you know, So why can't an engineer bring on the left side, the right side of the brain, as beautifully pictured in that pamphlet all back then? And in doing that, in bringing in that right balance too, the burden of what you're taking on intellectually or academically or in your head is then lessened by having the balance in your life as well. And of course, we've got the, sorry, did you want to say something there?
I just wanted to say you're incredible. That's all.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's very good.
I love the way that the wound is above the ear of the child too. And the ear is really focusing on what you're hearing as well. So there's something there with a focus on listening rather than seeing. And you may be a person that enjoys words and maybe learns more from listening than seeing.
Well, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and just contrasting my wife and I, she does so much better with a written word, and I actually can capture most of the podcast just by listening. So we've noticed that difference amongst ourselves. So just relating, just comparing to her, it seems like I have the ability to catch a lot in podcasts.
Okay, so that's really good, because in the recurring motif of the dream, you got the wet wipes to wipe the baby's the similar wound over the left ear, but in fact it turned it from red to white, which is kind of okay because white's a spiritual color, it's very pure. But there's that essence of concentrating on what you're birthing into the world may have an audio aspect to it, and only you would know what that was. And of course, with a hymn, we sing a hymn, and that you can't get much more audio than making music with your, you know, for other people to listen to. So I want to, although there's so much more here, I want to round up with the alchemy. And you gave a clue as to, you actually stated your alchemy quite early in the program. You said, it's the mother that needs to nurture, the mother in your dream, the refugee mother that needs to bring the baby inside, that needs to nurture you. I need to give the mother a space within my house. I need to give this refugee, creative part of myself room in my right brain to birth her baby and nurture her baby. Yeah. So I think that's the track that I'd quite like to go down. But although you're an audio person, Bob, do you find it quite difficult to visualize?
I've had a little bit of practice because I've heard so much about it. I have good dreams. So the visualization.
Yes, they are.
So I think I can. I'd like to try anyway. I think it might be good to try.
Yeah, okay. I think... Also have also look up the hymn, and if it seems appropriate, play it. And as an engineer, you must be pretty good at draw. Are you good at freehand drawing as well?
No, I'm not. Okay. I never finished the book.
Oh no, that's right, you didn't, of course.
No, not really.
Can you draw with computer programs? Like if you were to,
sure.
So would you be able to recreate or create a new kind of version of the front of that pamphlet?
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. What I would like you to do is to recreate a version of that pamphlet. It doesn't have to be the same, because the whole point here is to allow creativity to open up. So if it takes off and becomes something else, that's good too. And what I'd like you to do in making that is a sense of, in all these years, I've been an absolutely brilliant engineer, but somehow I forgot to develop and allow space for this creative, spiritual, inspired part of being an engineer, which was painted to me and gifted to me as a picture right from the start. How could I have missed that? How could I have not allowed room for that? So to allow those that feelings to be in your mind as you're actually working on the computer to recreate or produce in a new way the front page of that pamphlet, because that is you allowing that back in. As an engineer, you're finding a rational reason to allow yourself more room in your right brain. You're going, see, it was on the engineering pamphlet. I can do this. I'm allowed. It's part of being an engineer. Yeah. Okay. So although I actually was going to give you a visualization, I've ended up giving you a completely different, I've ended up giving you a drawing one, in using a modality of drawing that you are able to do. So I'd like to foot.
I might even do it by hand. I'll think.
Oh, that would be fantastic. When you've done that, I'd quite like you to, again, I'm trying to give you a visualization, but my mind is not allowing me to do it. So I'm giving you something else instead. Obviously, you're going to go and get the book and begin chapter two, because that's a given.
But well, we still have the book here somewhere.
Yeah, or get it or borrow it from the library or whatever. And the other thing I'd like you to do, and this is a symbolic gesture that will work, is in your actual house, because that was a house that was featured in the dream, to find a space. And it doesn't have to be a whole room. It might be a desktop, it might be a drawer, it might be a little shelf, it can be as big or as small as you wish, it could be a nail hanging on a wall, it can be anything, but find a space in your wall, in your house, to put your new drawing of the pamphlet when you've finished it. And what that is, it's you symbolically, alchemically working with the dream to say, I have given myself permission to have a space in my house. I'm not a refugee, deep within my being. And this is also my right brain, where I'm hanging, if it's a pin on the wall, where I'm hanging this new intention to allow myself to bring this creative and inspired and spiritual aspect of engineering into my life, to fully birth the baby, the rest of the body.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
That sounds great.
Okay.
It sounds great. I don't know how much time you have, but I should tell you what I thought you were going to do.
Yes, I'd love to know.
And how left brain that is. I was ready to set. You had given other. I've listened to many of your podcasts, and you had given so many people the task of thinking about something. Oh, I think sometimes you'd say 20 or 30 times a day,
yes.
Right? So I was set to set my cell phone on vibrate to remind me every 20 minutes to think something. And I just see how I've already programmed it. I was thinking ahead of time. I've already set it for 9 o'clock tonight to do something. And I'm not going on that track. I'm going on a completely different track.
I so love that. And listen, thank you for that, because everybody listening in, if you're doing visualizations, that is an absolutely brilliant tip. Set your phone on vibrate, or set it on a lovely harp kind of tune. I love that. That is absolutely beautiful. And yes, how?
Yeah, but it's not for you.
We've taken you right out of left brain.
Not this time, yeah.
We've taken you right out of that. Bob, I'd love you to update us, as I'm sure you will, on what happens as a result of this. And you are going to so enjoy watching this other aspect of yourself. Well, not just watching, you're going to actually start feeling this other aspect of yourself being birthed and really blossoming and having a lot of fun. And I'm so pleased that I've already, you've already responded and moved from the idea of drawing using a computer program to actually having a go at freehand drawing. And that's just wonderful.
Well, especially if I'm going to read the book, I'll probably do
it. Oh, and of course there is a time to start. You must start your late evening over there in Canada at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have you got time and space in your day tomorrow to do this drawing?
I think so. I think I will make time.
Yeah, set your
yes,
you're allowed to set your vibrator once. and it's for the time tomorrow that one, no matter what's happening, because babies are born this way, it's like no matter what's happening, the moment is now. Same priority. You set that, and whatever is happening, you sit down and you begin your drawing. Okay. Thank you so much for sharing this absolutely wonderful dream.
Thank you.
and I look forward to hearing how you go with it.
Okay.
Well, we actually recorded this episode a week before it was due to go out. So by the time you're listening to this, you can be completely sure that Bob will have already done his freehand redrawing of the front page of that engineering pamphlet, and probably spent quite a lot of time considering Jesus as a philosophy student at university, which I think is a lasting image probably for many of us having listened to today's show. And I'm sure Bob is now deeply enjoying some really creative and wonderful stuff, and getting more in touch with his sense of home and heart. And it'll be something that, you know, just opens a little bit each day until it's fully there. And I hope that you've all got something. I know you'll all have got something from listening to that one. And hey, if you're listening to this in real time instead of going back through them, didn't we turn out to have a bit of a Christmas flavour here? So that might be another good reason to share this episode with friends. And for all of you out there who are engineers or no engineers, or are art students or no art students, you might like to share this one as well for all the smiles that the topic brings up. And isn't it just an absolutely wonderful world? So thanks for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. Please, please, please find me on Facebook. Come over, have a conversation. And of course, go to the usual places, www.dream.net.au or www.janetheresa.com to find out what's going on there, to just enjoy it passively, or to, to decide to come on the show as a guest, or to contact me separately for a consultation and get the kind of rewards that Bob got there. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next week for another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.